Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Holy Trinity Sunday 2008. A reading from the Book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship, and then he said, If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Glory and praise forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forever. A reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to talk about Holy Trinity Sunday. Now, Dawn, are you familiar with the Holy Trinity? Or is there anything that you want to tell the people in your great wisdom and all your classes that you've learned about the Holy Trinity? Or were you hoping I was going to do that?
I was sort of hoping you were going to do that. You know, the Trinity, it's one of those things that I fully believe in, but I don't quite understand. It's one of those mystery type things. And so I was hoping you would have some information for us on what the church teaches or tells us about the Trinity.
Well, I think you're right. One of the things that you have to start with is always understanding that it is a mystery. Anytime really we talk about God, it's always a mystery because nothing we say as human beings can ever really capture the fullness of what it is to be God. So, I mean, like even when we say something, you know, like God is good, our comprehension of goodness doesn't even begin to touch on how good God is. God's better than whatever our vision of goodness would be. So we always have to remember that when we're talking about God, we're limited creatures, so we can only speak given our limitations, but God always transcends or goes beyond whatever we can come up with in our own minds. Now, the Holy Trinity, of course, is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we talk about them as persons of the Holy Trinity. And when we do that, we have to be careful because, again, we're talking about human language to describe something that's not human. And with the case of God, we want to remember that there is only one God. There's not three gods. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the one God. The Trinity is one God. And then, of course, you sit here and say, well, how is that possible? And you've got about 2,000 years of theologians trying to work that out. And ultimately, the answer is, of course, that it's a mystery. But there are certain things that we can say that can help us to try to understand it. So I don't want to just leave it as it's a mystery. Don't go home and think about it at all. Because I think it's important that we think about this. One of the things that we learn from the Trinity is that God, of his very nature, is relational. It's God is a relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we learn that, you know, God wants to be in relationship not only with us, but God himself is relationship. And when you talk about God is love, one of the names of our current popes, one of his first, actually was his first encyclical, was Deus Caritas Est, or God is love. And how, what do we mean when we say that? We can say what God essentially is that love between the three persons of the Trinity, or you could say the love between the Father and the Son, which generates the Holy Spirit, and or spirates would actually be the correct term. Generates would probably be more slightly heretical, but...
Oh, wait, you can't be heretical anymore.
That's right. I took my oath of fidelity. But basically, it's that what we say is one way to look at it is that the Father is perfectly God in himself, but as God, he knows himself. And this is Thomas Aquinas here, who I'm quoting here. And his self-knowledge is perfect. And what Thomas Aquinas says is when you know yourself, you kind of have an image of yourself. Well, for God, that image or that interior word or that understanding, you know, what it is he understands is the Word or the Son, which is also so perfect that it's equal to God. It's the same, it's equal to God. It's the same substance. Whereas for us, it's kind of an abstract idea when we know ourselves or something. It doesn't reproduce a whole person. But for God, because it's so perfect, it creates the second person of the Trinity or the Word. And then there's when the Father looks at that Word, and then when the Word looks back at the Father, there's a bond of love that's created. And that love is so perfect that it becomes a third person in the Trinity. So that's one way of talking about the Trinity. I mean, there's several examples that have been used throughout Christianity. But the main thing I think for our listeners to understand, or that I would point out, is to understand that of his very essence, God is one God, not three gods. So whenever we pray to, you know, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, if you're praying to one of them, really, you can't pray to one without praying to all three, in a sense, because to call on one person of the Trinity causes the other two to rise up. It's not there's three separate gods, and we've talked about that before in the podcast. I remember one time talking about, you know, it's not like you can sit here and say, oh, well, the Father's not around. I'm going to go see if the Son's somewhere. Oh, he's busy. Where's the Holy Spirit? Maybe he can help me out here. No, it's one God, and but it is a God who is relational, and his love is so powerful, of course, that it flows out into creation and causes him to become creative, and that's, of course, where we come into play, is that we are created out of the love of God. Now, in the Gospel today, we have also one of the most famous statements about the Son, or about God, really, in all of the New Testament. It's from the Gospel of John. A lot of times you'll see people at football games or sporting events holding signs that say John 3:16. And that's God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then again, you're talking about, it comes right from the whole idea of God is love. You know, he's love within himself in relationship, but then that love is overflowing to the point where it's creative and creates something external to God, which would be creation as we know it. And God's love for that is so strong that he gave his only Son, that he actually enters into this whole world. And he says, you know, not to condemn the world, but to save it. So, I mean, again, that shows God's love for us, because it's a world that's turned from God, as we learned in the book of Genesis and the story of Adam and Eve in the fall. But God doesn't want to condemn the world. God is, of his very essence, love. And he loves the world so much that he wants to redeem it rather than condemn it. And I think that's something, you know, that actually I think is just a powerful reflection in and of itself for our own society, because how often do we want to condemn things rather than redeem things?
Very true.
Especially in this election year. I mean, that's something to think about.
Well, that verse, John 3:16, they call that the gospel in a nutshell, because you can interpret it. That's the entire gospel in one small verse. Now, thankfully, we have more than that one verse. But it is one of the most famous, many people quote it all the time. One of the things that I liked how the readings are all put together on this feast day is that something I was reading was talking about revelation demands a response. And so God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they are revealed to us, and that requires our response. I guess I've never really thought about it. Now, we can choose to, either way, believe it or not believe it. And this gift of Jesus, God's only Son, requires acceptance or denial. And so I think a lot of times we get caught up in just the words, and we really don't think about what is our response to what is happening. And then we have... in the first reading, and both in the first and the second reading, Moses' response to God's revelation is he bows down in worship, and that should be our response also. And the second reading also talks about another type of response, because we're responding to God, but also the body of Christ in the church. And so we're living in peace, we're meeting each other with a holy kiss or with... as a community. And so I love how the church put all these readings together today.
Mm-hmm. And peace also, a thing to understand here is it's not just simply an artificial peace or something where we're not going to admit our differences or that somebody did something that annoyed me or anything like that, but it has to be a true peace. And that's the peace that Christ offers us, or that God offers us by coming into the world and becoming one with the world, is to make that peace between humanity or creation and the divine. And I think that's the same peace that we need to have for one another. So when it talks about, you know, greeting one another with a holy kiss, or, you know, live in love with each other, a lot of times these things become, you know, things that could be on a postcard or something, or a bumper sticker without much thought behind it. But that's not really the essence of what it is to be a Christian. The essence of what it is to be a Christian is to recognize our differences and find ways to still love the world and the creation, knowing that it's, you know, fallen from its fullness of grace.
That's not an easy thing to do.
No, that's definitely a tougher thing to do. I also, Dawn, I did like what you said earlier, though, about the idea that revelation demands a response. And that's something, you know, we hear that a lot here at the seminary. And so much so, it's one of the great things about doing this podcast with somebody who's not at the seminary, because a lot of times, you know, I hear things so often that it just becomes second nature, and I kind of lose the fact that everybody else isn't hearing this on a daily basis. But that's something I think that's very important to our faith. A lot of times what people tend to like to do in our society is say, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and that's all I have to do. There's no other response. Well, that is a response, of course, but I think it demands a continual response too. And we see that in the example of all the saints. We see it from, you know, from Mary to begin with, and it just goes all the way throughout salvation history, this constant saying yes to God. There's also a constant need, but that also implies that response. Part of that response is also saying, you are God and I am not. And that involves some sort of a dying to self, so you can no longer give in to your selfish desires. So I think that's another thing that we can grasp from this Holy Trinity Sunday, is remembering that God is God, or Christ is God, or the Holy Spirit or the Father is God, and I am not. And I somehow have to respond to that. But it doesn't mean that I can't be in relationship with God. There are some religions, Islam would be one, that would say you can't have a personal relationship with God. Whereas what's been revealed to us is that indeed we do have a personal relationship with God, because God initiated that relationship by becoming a human being.
Just when you were describing the Trinity earlier in the podcast, it got me to thinking, my favorite icon is the one that's called the Holy Trinity. I believe it's maybe by Rublev. It's very famous. It has the three persons of the Trinity sitting around a table, and I actually have that in my bedroom, so when I wake up, it's the first thing I look at. And I don't know a lot about icons, but I know for me it's very moving, and I'd encourage anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about to, you know, maybe search on the web for it. And
we could find it on the web and put it on St. Mary's site or something somewhere.
Yes, I could
put a link maybe on
that.
The front page or something.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, we'll look for that and try to do that.
Giving me more work to do.
There you go.
But in Henry Nouwen's book, if anybody has that book on the icons, which of course I've just forgot, he wrote a whole chapter on it, and it's very good. And So I'm just full of information that I can only give half of the information today. But I recommend that. So.
And like we said, we'll put it on the website.
Right,
so
yes.
That it's there for people who are interested in that. And Dawn, we're going to be running late on this podcast.
Better end then.
So it's about time, I think, to wrap up the podcast. But hopefully we've given some people something to think about in terms of the Trinity and how it's relational and how they can relate to the Trinity. And hopefully they can relate to us, and we'll be back to join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.